I'm excited. We've been in the series talking about the perichoresis, that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's not enough just to refer to him as the Trinity or the three in one, but it is a perichoresis circle dance. That perichoresis comes from this Greek term, actually from a term meaning a dance, where you had to have at least three, and they would be in a circle dancing to in such movement and momentum and rhythm that the dance would be likened to a blur, that they would go faster and faster and faster, and the three people in a dance, you couldn't even tell one from the other, and that this is the most accurate way to actually describe what we have come to know as Trinity, that the Trinity, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's a community or a participation between all three parts of God where they are all in one together. According in John to John 17, Jesus talked about being in the Father and the Father in him, and he says, I want to invite my church into this oneness to share in this participation. How many of you want to share in that kind of participation, dancing with God day and night in all things? I read it every week, but I'm going to read it again in John 17, 23, that I am in them, you are in me. This is Jesus speaking. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. God invites us into this intimate participation called getting in the dance, to where God and man can no longer even be distinguished, because we will be so one with him that we will produce everything that he wants to produce. Yes. Amen. And I believe the biggest stronghold or the biggest thing that prevents us from producing the fruit that we are called to produce, that the biggest stronghold in the church today is not being convinced of a freely given new nature. One of the biggest strongholds in the church today is we not being freely convinced of a freely given new nature. The word stronghold defined means this: a place that has been fortified to protect itself. A place where a cause or a belief is strongly defended. So a stronghold is a place that is difficult to access anything behind it. So you had this idea that you might have a thought or a belief that is so strong that everything is filtered through that belief, right? So the scripture says your stronghold can be God, which is a good thing. You want all things filtered through him being the stronghold, him being everything that we hold to. Or you can have a stronghold of your own thoughts, opinions, or even allegiances to principalities and rulers of this world, right? Because some people have these belief systems that are not of God, even if they found those beliefs in the church. And we actually become more sold out to the belief than the idea that God wants us to change our belief and systems and thinking. Does that make sense? That is essentially the idea of religion. Religion has become a stronghold to where even nowadays people say God cannot give any new revelation because he has already given all things, although the scripture says, I want to reveal more and more to you, right? This is what God wants to do. He wants to reveal more of himself to us as we walk day by day, glory to glory, and that all things revealed, we have this wonderful word of God so that we can make sure whatever we claim is revealed aligns with what we've already seen. Does that make sense? Strongholds. This idea that you can't get anything past this. And some of these strongholds of not believing in that you have been given a new nature, some believe that they are so filthy that they align with the nature of a filthy thing, not understanding that the way to become cleansed has less to do with filthy actions and more to do with embracing a new nature. I'm going to read that. I'm going to do a lot of read-overs today because I wrote a lot of this down. Some believe that they are so filthy, so messed up, your life has been so altered, that you actually align with the nature of that filthy thing. So in other words, you believe you're filthy, so you do filthy stuff. You believe you're screwed up, so you keep screwing up. You believe that your life is a mess, therefore you make messy decisions. Is that clear? They align with this nature, not understanding that the way to become cleansed has less to do with the filthy actions and more to do with embracing a new nature. That the transformation of your mind is tearing down your own fortified beliefs and embracing a new way of thinking. Renewing your mind, another word for that is called repentance. To renew your mind, to change the direction of where you're going, is tearing down your own fortified beliefs and embracing a new way of thinking. These are not up there, but Romans 12:2, be transformed by renewing your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, make every thought obedient to God. You hear that? Make every thought obedient to God. Just because you have a feeling doesn't mean you come into agreement with the feeling. You make every thought obedient to who he is. Philippians 4:8, think on good things, just things, honorable things. So if your mind is consumed with how filthy you are, you're actually in rebellion to the command to put your thoughts on good things. Do you hear that? Like the Lord says, I love you so much, I'm asking you to get your mind off of your shortcomings and focus on just things. Because if you focus on the just things, your shortcomings will literally become a thing of the past. Over and over, we have a call to lean in to a new way of thinking. Because the Father made a way for you to be something freely. Freely. He made a way for you to become something free of charge. Let's read John 10:18. Jesus says, no one can take my life from me. I love that. No one can take my life from me. We can't blame the Jews for crucifying Jesus, even though the Jews crucified Jesus. Because when it came down to it, look, he says, I sacrifice it voluntarily. He says, you know why I'm on the cross? Because I decided to go there. Not because you arrested me. Because the one that can show up in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can handle arrest chains. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want and take it up again. This is what my Father has commanded. Jesus gave himself free of charge so that you can put on a new nature. He gave himself freely so that you could freely put on a new nature, a new self, a new character. Not earn a nature, but put on a nature. You hear this? Not earn a new life in Christ, simply put on a new life in Christ. Colossians 3:10 through 11 says it like this. Put on. Someone shout, put on. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it does not matter if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, if you're circumcised or not, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free, Christ is all that matters and He lives in all of us. This isn't up there, but I love what the Passion Translation says. The Passion Translation says it like this. You have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Listen to that. You've received new life, and it's continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. So I'm going to say it like this. Listen to this. You receive something new, a new nature. And as you put it on, as you put on this nature, there is a renewal that is happening. Your old man is renewing into the right man, the justified man, the purified man. And this creation actually has a nature that is in the likeness of God. Let me say that again. You get something new, And God says, when you put it on, there is a renewal happening. Your old man, the unrighteous man, the filthy man, the impure man, is being renewed into right, justified, and pure. And this man who you are renewing into has a nature that is like God. Now, here's the key. And as you begin to see yourself renewed, then you will understand a full revelation of who God is. Many people are trying to get a revelation of God, but you do not have permission to get a full revelation of God until you start to see a full revelation of yourself. Most don't know who God looks like because they still don't know what they look like. Hence, he says, put on a new nature. Because you can't see me until you see you through me. Perhaps this is why Jesus began to speak life and new life into the 12 before they even proclaimed he was the Messiah. You hear that? Let me give you an example. Peter meets Jesus one day for the first time in Scripture. Jesus looks at Simon Peter, and he sees a man not catching fish. And what Jesus saw was not a man not catching fish, but a man walking in the wrong nature. Are y'all holding on, or is this okay? So before Jesus tells him who he is, he leads Peter to catching so much fish that the boat starts to sink, right? But I want you to pay attention to what Jesus says and does after Peter gets all this fish. Luke 5, 8 through 11. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." Stay right there. Go back. When Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees and said, "Please leave me. I'm a sinner." One of the biggest strongholds in the church is the church convincing you that all you are is a sinner. Jesus did not look at Peter and see a sinner without hope. He simply saw a man walking in the wrong nature. So Peter, when he sees what he actually is, catching all this fish, because he ain't successful at this point. But when Peter gets all of this fruit in the boat, he falls down to his knees and realizes who he's dealing with. And this is what happens in verse 9, because he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were others with him. His partners, verse 10, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And watch this. Jesus replied to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Yes. Two things. How did Peter know he was the Messiah? Holy Spirit. Here's another thing. When Peter fell down and called himself a sinner, the first thing Jesus does is says, "Get up and start fishing." And many stay in a posture of, "I'm just a sinner," when the call of God is to get up and put on a new nature that you are right and you are justified so that you can go fish in appropriate waters. You see, Peter was in the wrong nature. "I catch fish for a living." Jesus says, "Well, the reason you can't catch fish is because you're fishing in the wrong waters. You are meant to be a leader. You are meant to be a solid rock in me, Christ." So let's not keep you in this position of you're horrible, you're filthy, you're a sinner saved by grace, and you got to have church so that you can stay clean. He says, "Get up and put on right and justified." Peter was fishing in a lake when he was designed to lead people. You will not know your call until you know your true identity. And when you start to see who you are, that is when you get a revelation of the fullness of the Christ. Because when Peter walked in this new nature of, oh, he's called me out of this literal fishing. He starts walking with Jesus, and later on, when Jesus has a conversation with Peter, Peter says, "You're the Messiah." Because before he got a revelation of this man Jesus is Messiah, he had to get a revelation that I am worthy to fish for people. And a lot of people are still struggling with, how do I hear the voice of God? How do I see God? How do I encounter God? And I'm telling you, God says, you can't see all of me until you start to see yourself appropriately. Well, I was jumping, but you get to know him by his teachings. And then as you get to know him by his teachings, you'll start to get to know him by his touch and his voice, not just by reading. But you have to choose to put on something new. Oh, I'm pure. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm spotless. But what the mind does is start, well, that's not true. I've got so many spots. And Jesus says, stop putting on a spotted nature. You won't get rid of the spots until you become convinced that you are actually positioned as spotless. And what the church does is we point out spots instead of pointing out true identity of you're clean. See, y'all are having trouble with this already. Because what happens in the religious paradigm is we, especially in Southern culture, we have this idea that Jesus comes to make sure that you know you can't do a thing without him. You can't. But that doesn't mean that you are worthless. He wants to do incredible things through you because he saw your true nature, which is why he decided to go to the cross. And the church is tearing apart, families are breaking down, friendships are unraveling because we hear the voice of critique over the voice of, that's not who you are. His nature is very specific. And it's of a certain kind. Proverbs 10:9 says this, people with integrity, what's that word? Integrity, walk safely. But those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. Leave that up there. Integrity. Let's talk about integrity. Integrity comes from the root word integer. If you're a math person like me, you'll know that integer simply means whole or complete. You walk safely and in step with God when you walk whole and complete. Well, what is whole and complete? A life where all things are integrated in God. What is integrity? You walk holy because he is integrated in everything that you do. What is the life of integrity? Every part of me is wrapped up in God. I don't become something different when I walk out of this pulpit. The one who pursues God preaching right now is the same person as the one who pursues God when I watch, you know, HGTV Dream Home. And we laugh because, like, well, how can you? Because it's the idea that in all things, he is glorified. It's not I choose to watch this because it responds to me. It's anything that I watch is pleasing to the Lord. And when I watch it, I make sure I don't become jealous of it in a way that doesn't please the Lord. I respond to no matter what my eyes see in a way that is in new nature. The conversations I have should be in a way that is in a new nature. The way I study the word and the way I look at anything should be of a particular nature, and that is I want God glorified in everything I do. It's not let me do this right so that God is pleased. It's I'm putting on a new nature so that the new nature I'm putting on becomes my natural. So if you have a desire that is not of God's, as you put on a new nature, those desires that shouldn't be fall off because you're intentionally putting on something new. Perichoresis, the circle dance, the three in one, understanding that each person of the Trinity is an open space which offers the other two to dwell in. In other words, you have Father, open space, and there's permission for the other parts of God to be in that space equally. The same with Jesus for Holy Spirit, Father, the same with Holy Spirit for Jesus and Father, and the same with us, that we have a space that is us, and we choose what occupies that space. And a man or woman of integrity only allows things of God in this space. And a life of integrity is understanding that the three in one offers a space for you to dwell in. And when you dwell in the place of his presence, this is the integration or a life of integrity that all things are in Christ. And I know what you're thinking, like maybe you've heard this 100 times. I'm getting into some deeper stuff, but I got to lay some groundwork. But I think this is pretty deep so far. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why can we do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Because I am becoming integrated in the space of the dance. How can I do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because all things are becoming integrated with presence. I don't separate God from where I commune. The moment you separate God from where you commune, you begin to commune or dine at the wrong table. You intentionally put on a new nature, integrating yourself in the dance of the beloved. And when you do that, you will begin to see God as he introduces you to the true you by way of the nature being integrated in his likeness. Let me say it like this. Last week, I talked about Jesus rebuking the fig tree. If you remember in that passage, the scripture tells us that the fig tree had big green leaves and that it was out of season to produce fruit. When Jesus walks up to it, it had the leaves, it had no fruit. And Jesus rebuked it. The next day they came back and it shriveled up and it was dead. And what we talked about was we don't pay attention to that. If all things are created in Christ, then Jesus knew that this tree was actually operating appropriately because it was not in season to produce the fruit. It was doing what it was supposed to do. So why would Jesus rebuke it? Because when you are in the presence of God, no season excuses you to bear no fruit. And one of the biggest strongholds in the church is, it's just not my season. Well, child of God, the scripture says you are called to bear fruit in and out of season. So this whole, it's a season of a dry place or a season of a barren place, that is your stronghold. The more and more I think about the wilderness of the people of God in the wilderness for how long? 40 years on a 9-day journey. There ain't no way they got lost for 40 years on a 9-day journey. The more and more I read that, I begin to believe the reason they were in wilderness for 40 years is because wilderness was supposed to transform into promised land. So wilderness is not a wrong place. It's how you steward wilderness. Because when we come into the wilderness with authority, wilderness should produce. The wilderness produced a greater degree of Holy Spirit in Jesus. I'm just in a dry season. I'm in a wilderness season. So, produce. You cannot say that you have the power of God and made in the image of God and say that you cannot produce in season, because by that very theology, you're saying God is limited. God is not limited. God can do all things, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as I put on a new nature, it doesn't matter what's coming against me. It doesn't matter what season I am in. I do not bear fruit based off that season. I look at that season in the face and say, you are not having the authority on my call to produce. Biggest stronghold in church. I'm going through a valley. I'm going through I'm going through this hard time. Even in the hard times, you have a call.
That's right.
Produce.
That's right.
Produce what? Everything in the likeness of God. That in the hardest of times, you produce joy. That in the most tempting times, you produce self-control. That in the most stressful times, you produce a peace. The environment or the season you're in should not hinder your fruit. A season of death produced life for Jesus. He was dead for a season of 3 days. But you know what Jesus did with that season? No, I'm called to produce life.
Hallelujah.
I'm not sure what that producing was, but. All right, so how do you produce in and out of season? You get integrated in a new nature called all things through Christ. Let me read you a very popular story. 2 Samuel 6, 12 through 16. King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went there, brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf, and David danced. He danced before the Lord with all of his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. Leave it there. No, actually, let's go to verse 20. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. And she said in disgust, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do. Pause right there. Most people teach this, that David danced naked. Wrong. Let's continue reading. Verse 21. David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes, but those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think that I am distinguished. There's an old praise song that quoted the scripture, I'll become even more undignified than this, and some may say it's foolishness. David did not get naked and show himself to young girls. He danced in a priestly garment, and the exposure was taking off his kingly robes. And this was exposing to these young girls not the nature of a king, but a different nature. And David said, I will dance in this nature because in this nature, I'm integrated with God. And Michael, sure, I'm going to go with Michal. It sounds more feminine. All she could do was criticize that new nature. I can say these past 3 years, putting on a new nature in this house, it has been the biggest season of criticism for me personally I get criticized with everything. But here's the thing. I pray for those that criticize me because they did not read the next scripture about Michal. Look at 2 Samuel 6:23. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. In other words, because she criticized the godlike nature, she couldn't produce. She could not produce or bear fruit because she embraced criticism over integration. A new nature is to bring out life, not criticize it and not mock it. And the biggest stronghold for us is we tend to mock ourselves and criticize ourselves by simply saying, I am a sinner. I'm powerless. How powerless of a God do you serve to believe that the king of the world did not have the authority to integrate you into a nature that is godlike? You hear that? How powerless of a God do you serve to believe that he did not have the authority to integrate you into a new nature despite filthy actions? All he says to do is put on a new nature, or let's look at what David did, strip off old robes and put on new ones. And Jesus says, these new robes for you are ones that you would never be able to afford. So I'll buy them with a sacrifice so that you could simply take this robe called new you and put it on, instead of being convinced that you're filthy and powerless. And I wonder, have you embraced barrenness as a season when it could be a result of you not willing to get integrated in a new nature? Well, why won't God do it for me? I would start asking, where am I not integrated? Because when you put on a new nature, Psalm 1, 1 through 3 says this, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with the mockers. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. You know what each season means? Every. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. Because when you put on a new nature, knowing who you are in Christ, you will produce in every season because you are planted in a foundation that all foundations are found in, Yahweh. Is this making sense so far? Yes. Has this helped? Yes. All right. I was listening to a message this week from one of my favorite preachers, Damon Thompson, and he mentioned something. It was very short. I think he spent like 2 seconds on it. And I about wrecked my truck when I heard this, and it was going to be bad. But I went home and studied it. And can I share it with you? Because I believe this is part of the new nature and the dance. I want you to go to Genesis 27. I'm going to read verses 1-4. Because there's the idea of putting on a new nature, but there's also a truth that you cannot fool God with an imposter nature.
That's right.
So Genesis 27, 1-4, one day when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and said, my son. Yes, father, Esau replied. I'm an old man now, Isaac said. I don't know when I may die. Take your bow and a quiver full of arrows and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat, and then I'll pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die. Leave it there. In this story, you have a father, Isaac, who's wanting something from his son. It's his last days. He's going blind. He can't see clearly. So he says, son, go prepare me a dish. Go get some food. And he's very specific about what kind of food that he wants. The father looks to the son and says, I want the wild game. What kind of game?
Wild.
He said, the wild game is my favorite dish. And he says, when you bring me my favorite dish, I will bless you. The Passion Translation says, I will bless you from my innermost being. As you go through the story, Rebecca hears this conversation and convinces Jacob to steal that blessing because she is hung up on Jacob's getting the blessing before Esau. So you can read that how you want. That's not what we're going to focus on. What she convinces Jacob to do is she hears, get the food for your father, you'll get the blessing. Esau was a hunter. So she looks at Jacob and says, go to the flock and get two goats. Prepare the dish and act like you're Esau, bringing your father the wild game. Long and the short of it is Jacob goes and gets the goats. He prepares the meal. He even puts some stuff on his arms because Esau's hairy and he's not, so he wants to make sure that he, everything from touch to sight to sight to smell, the dish, he wants to look like his brother. And as you read the rest of the story, you see the split because obviously Jacob gets the blessing and Jacob and Esau have some words, if you want to say that. But here's the thing I want to pay attention to. There was a certain nature of the animal that he wanted a feast of. Not the tamed goats from the flock, but a wild animal from the feasts, from the fields. Isaac was given an imposter nature. He was told that it was wild, but it was actually tamed. Religion brings God imposter nature of here I am because this is tradition. When what God delights in is a wild nature dance like David. David did not wait till temple time or quiet time or devotion time or Saturday night at 6 o'clock time. He was obedient and danced before the Lord. The goats were domesticated. The father wanted wild. The religious spirit wants to domesticate believers or tame them. And this is why people still get offended at wild praise and call it distracting. Because we want buildings full of tame ones instead of embracing a new nature of the wild that goes after God. And the thing about tamed animals is that they all get tamed by putting them in cages. And what does a religious spirit do? Decorate cages full of tamed people. So we put all of our resources decorating our buildings as long as we can keep the wild beasts tamed. What's wrong with y'all? That's amazing. Processing. I like it. Isaac was going blind, but our father is not, because he sees the heart of a man. The father does not delight in decorated cages or people that have been taught to be tamed. He delights in those who will become undignified in a new nature. Praise. This is a new nature of being integrated with God. And people will get sick of you talking about God. People will get sick of your passion. People will get sick of your testimonies. But I say, do not tame yourself. Get wild. Even this, some of you thought, why did this woman stand up and block my view? Because she's willing to get wild.
I am.
Like up here, like leading worship, I saw some of these kids just doing like all kind of, you know, praise. I wasn't going to call it ugly praise, but I don't want you to get offended by that. It was just, I don't care how this looks. She was going for it. She was willing to get wild. And you want to know why the Lord told me to keep the kids in church? Because some of you need to view wild.
Yes.
And, no. And what we have to be careful not to criticize a heart of a house who wants to get wild and untamed. So that's why we dare to embrace sharing prophetic words. Because there's going to be times we get it right, there's going to be times we get it wrong, but we're trying to untame the wild. Worship goes on for an hour, sometimes less, sometimes more. Why? Because we're trying to get wild, not tamed. I see relentless walking into a day where there are hundreds and hundreds of people worshiping God who are not worried about what time is service over for second service to start, because all we care about is getting wild with a new nature of I will become even more undignified than this. And it's not something that you will walk into one day by just praying for it. You have to put it on before you become it, because he already sees you as it. Is this clicking? Get integrated. He has a new nature for you. He bought it for you. How dare the church stay tamed? You know what a tamed church has done? Only one man can share the word of God. When the scripture says to prepare a place to build up the gifts so that there's not one teacher, there's many. Think the king, one of the biggest religious strongholds is the most truest translation is the King James Version. And what you don't understand is that version was actually adopted to try to tame the people because the church had too much control. And if I could really offend you, one thing that I found out recently, King James, they found letters that he wrote, homosexual letters to three men. And we hold that Bible up here. Oh, y'all look at me like crazy. Yes, that messes up a lot of your religion because the King James is pure. Let's define what purity is. It's still the word of God, despite who wrote it, despite the affinity of it, despite the allegiance. But we need to make sure we understand that we are reading the word of God and not worshiping a translation. If I may, man has used a Bible to tame the wild. Because we'll try to find reason in here to keep us tame when the whole scripture is about coming alive in Christ. I will never preach anything that is not aligned with this word. But I'll never read something in here about women can't talk and say that we're in a day where women can't preach, because you're understanding that the reason the letter was written to bring order into a church at that time, it's showing you how to bring order, not giving you a set of rules. A new nature in the dance. A new nature. Do you dare to believe that you can have a full revelation of God without ever reading this? That sounds like heresy sometimes. But there's people in tribes that have no print who know Jesus better than the American church. Because how dare you limit an all-powerful God to words on a page? And before I get emails, I honor this word. I teach out of it for over an hour every Saturday night. But I also understand that this is part of a doorway into more. And he's given us a foundation to go there, and we cannot stay tame anymore. I got people dancing up in the sound booth. 2 Peter 1, 3-4, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Do you hear that? You've been given everything you need to lead a life that God desires you to bring him. Think about what Isaac wanted. Isaac wanted wild game for his last communion. What do you think the Father wants from his bride? He wants communion with untamed believers. So untamed that people like Peter and Jesus and other disciples ministered on Sabbath against the law. You want to know why we're talking about tame and wild? Because there will be a day in America that people worship over God. I love being in America, but it is not an idol. It is a place to live. You hear that? There will be a day, and I'm not saying this tomorrow, it may be years from now, where the church will be limited. And we're going to find out who's wild and who's tame. Because the tame people will say yes to the Antichrist spirit. And wild does not mean no reverence and no honor either. Because we have to understand that wild believers still honor protocol. Jesus did. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. Next time someone asks you our miracles for today, you know what you say? Well, according to 2 Peter 1, I share in divinity. And escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. What promises enable you to share in this nature? One, he has purchased you and you are an adopted child of God. Yes. You know what that means? The inheritance of a father goes to his children. Right. So the authority and the image of God is passed down to his sons and daughters. Number two, you are born again, meaning you are reborn as right without iniquity. So what that means is when you were born into this world with iniquity, you had a bent toward a sin or many sins. But when you are reborn, you can no longer blame the sins of your father, mother, or even your upbringing on the person you are now, because who you are now is not affected by your circumstances. Who you are now is not affected on a bad home life. Who you are now is not affected by abuse. Who you are now is a new creation in Christ. And when you say yes to him, the new nature that is you, no one has seen that yet. That's freedom. Why is it that our testimonies are packed with our past more so than the promise of our future? You are sealed with Holy Spirit. We are given Holy Spirit as the temple of which he wants to dwell. So when you understand that you are a child of God, you're born again, you have a new nature, and that you are the very dwelling place of God, putting on a matching nature is not that difficult. In other words, when you start to understand how good he is, it's easy to believe how good you are. When you start to understand how righteous he is, you'll understand how righteous you are because you are that through him. It doesn't take away from how great he is. It doesn't take away anything that he is God and we are not. He is such a good, good father that he shares his nature with us. And all we gotta do is, I'll put that on. So that when life comes at you, you're not a victim to the circumstance, but you put on a new nature as the one in authority over the circumstance. Well, Kyle, you just don't know what I'm going through. You've never experienced it. I don't have to experience it to tell you this. Put on a new nature. Because that circumstance is not your authority, and it does not give you the excuse to produce anything less than the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're not dirty. You are not filthy. You are not a lost cause. Let me say this loud. Your ministry is not over. You are a spotless bride, a righteous vessel. Put on that nature and integrate that part of who you are in every circumstance of life. And become wild and undignified in a life marked by living in the very presence of God. And as you submit to presence, that new nature is revealed because you've decided to enter the dance. Enter the dance. So when you leave here and you enter into conversations, you're actually bold enough to not gossip. You're actually bold enough to speak peace over someone who has anxiety, because at those dinner tables, in the morning conversations with family, that space called conversation, you're inviting him to dwell in it. And do you dare to believe that with the presence of God, he will do exactly what he needs to do in the space called conversation, in the space called honor in the workplace, in the space called honor in your marriage, in the space called the tithe and the offering, all the spaces. Lord, I want to be integrated with you. So we put on a new nature. A new nature in the dance. Put it on. Bear fruit. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to close this out. And I ask every week, and I'm going to ask it again. First of all, this word speak to you tonight. It ministered to me. I know that. As I close out in prayer, I want to keep this place open for prayer, worship. You can take communion again in the back if you want. You can sit in your chair. You can come before the front of the area and ask for prayer. You can just lay face on the floor just before God and say, I need you. Whatever you need to do, that's what this space is set aside for. And we ask that all conversations go to the lobby so that we can set this place aside. Church, I love you. And I'm excited that we are going to walk in a new nature, that we will not be the tame ones. We will be the ones that dance like David danced. And it's, let me even say that. We're not trying to dance like David. We're trying to just get undignified before God like David did. So Lord, let us become a people that cast off all things and decide, not pray that you would do it, but we would decide to put on the nature you called us to put on. And that all the strongholds and beliefs in our life and religion in our life that has caused us to hold back, that it will fall in such a way that we would be a people that have you integrated in every part of our lives. And you would delight in that wild game. Let your nature be revealed in all things, Lord. In all things we do. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. You guys are dismissed. I love you guys. Remember to keep conversation to the lobby and let people have some time with God.